Take this job.
I told you then, and I'll fucking say it right now. You ain't shit but a fucking puppet. You and her are Mike's little fucking puppets. You're Muppets. You fucking Muppet. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck her. Fuck him. Fuck all you motherfuckers. Life and fucking limb, and that's no joke, bitch. I almost lost my fucking life in that goddamn bar. Fuck you. Fuck you.
That's why poetry readings for me can just go die. Because it's like all those, you ever seen poets? What a miserable fucking bunch for the most part. I mean, there's a few shining stars here and there, but there's a lot of substitute teachers who teach like at Harbor College in Long Beach, and they dress in 800-year-old corduroys, and they drive fucked up Toyota Corollas, and they write really shitty stuff.
His name is Dr. Rosso. He's the rock and roll clown. He does cocaine. I'm afraid that's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99.
Hey.
It's a podcast.
That we do.
That we do.
It happens.
Who are we?
Hey.
I'm Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
Together, we're keeping it 99, the podcast.
The same one that you've listened to before.
And the one you're listening to currently. How do I know that? I'm like fucking Nostradamus. How do I know? How does he know that I'm listening to it right now? That's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy.
We know. What else are you going to listen to? What else are you going to listen to?
Flow jams.
When we were, yeah.
We're going to listen to some flow jams, man. It's a lot of flow jams, a lot of flow tree, a lot of, that's what I call it.
Some flow tree.
With
some fucking EDM.
Welcome to Keep It at 99, your poetry slam dance podcast, everybody. I have to make some fun. Am I allowed to make fun, or is somebody going to automatically like start a comment thread and just like not let me make jokes about?
That one kid is.
That one kid's oh, he's definitely. Rubber City Redbeard. 20 years going on, right? 20 years in the security biz.
20 years, man.
And not
20 years of my life.
Not officially retired, because I'm hearing about some house parties coming, but you are, you are no longer the door guy. You are no longer the head of security down at the outpost.
I'm not.
You're left. You're off the game.
Make it clear, I left.
Bittersweet?
Yeah, more bitter than sweet, but yeah.
Yeah,
you know, it's totally a bittersweet thing. You know, it's like, the time was going to come regardless at some point to where, you know, I was going to stop doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you and I've talked like for the past year about, you know,
it's going to happen. And, you know, the easiest way for me to deal with it, the situation, because the situation is really shitty. Like, and nobody knows what is really transpired other than the people that have worked there. Everybody else can fucking assume and talk and run their fucking mouths,
right?
But they don't know anything, so it's.
It's kind of how it always goes when the metal club closes down, because we've seen multiple.
Yeah, look,
metal clubs
look, they don't even get it twisted. Like, it's not closing down.
Yeah,
you know, and they still want to book metal. So if you want to book a metal show,
go book a metal show.
Call
them up. Definitely go book a metal show at the Outpost.
Call them up. You know,
absolutely.
they're totally willing to work with you.
See, like,
but what isn't happening is that the promoters and the people that have been throwing shows there, the guys who have brought you sold out fucking shows go to, and also to open up for these fucking people, they're no longer dealing with the people that are dealing with you.
Right.
So you can go deal with them. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like the people. Like I was gonna say, like the easiest way for me to deal with the situation is that it's just time. It's just time,
right?
You know what I mean? And that's just what it is
for
me.
Yeah.
It's just time. It's time to go. And it's, you know, it sucks because I love everybody that I worked with there. I love Joe. You know, Maude. Like, that dog kept me sane for years.
I have absolutely nothing but love for the people that have built that place up over the past decade or so, and turned it into what it was. It became a hangout for a niche market, I guess, because that's how it gets looked at in the business world, right? It's a niche market.
I guess are you pigeonholing it as one thing?
But I do feel them on that, because like I said, like here, the second half of this show, if you guys don't know, is going to be nothing but poetry. We're going to have some people come in and read some poems, because we can't just be a metal podcast, because We got to get a wider audience. We need Diverse. We got to put butts in the seats.
Diversity.
Got to put butts in the seats.
We got. We have to. Have, we're not a good podcast if we're not podcasting every day. If we're only podcasting, you know, a few times out of the week, we're not a good podcast. We can't. Right. There's no quality.
No quality.
It's all about the quantity.
You got to understand the business end of things, Grant. Look, look. It's
I'm a pro.
It's a business. You know, business.
I booked a show once. And, you know, 300 people came. Fuck out of here. Shut up. I'm a fucking loser. Try to fucking talk to me about some shit.
Like, so basically, is it a situation where the Outpost is just they're trying to just change the crowd or image or
the image they started trying to change months ago when they did like a fucking interview for the Record Courier talking about poetry night and open mic night, and you know, they painted over all the fucking band stickers in the bathrooms and fucking all the shit that fucking has been there for years that the bands have played there. They painted over all that shit. Like they basically just wiped out years of history at this fucking, you know, rock/metal club.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to label it as. Look, dude, fucking MGK was there. Chip the Ripper was there. Fucking the Ying Yang Twins were in that bitch. Like, fuck you if you think there hasn't been any fucking diversity. Of course there's been fucking diversity at that fucking club.
Pretty sure it's the same clown posse
there. Is it one of the best shows ever, right? It was the best show ever for you as a fucking ICP fan.
Which is, yeah.
Was saying a lot. Saying a lot. But none of that was good enough. It comes down to this, dude. The guy that owns the club is fucking 80 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay? His son, Joe, has been running the club for the past decade.
Yeah.
Or so. Right? Probably a little bit longer than that. And as of lately, things have transpired between those two that have led to the situation that we're in now. The owner, the 80-year-old guy...
Mm-hmm.
Instead of discussing any business with the current staff or anything, brings in two outsiders, one of which has never been there, the other of which has only been there when he's playing fucking congos in a hippie band. Horribly, I might add, because he was told, you might want to learn how to fucking play those things because you're making my people look bad. I won't say who quoted that. But that was said to him after a set that he played at that fucking club. Now, this guy also, he doesn't come to shows. The girl I've never seen ever before this shit started a few months back, Jesse Fetty, the hippie, he only came in for hippie shows. He recently started coming in for some metal shows and then tells me that he's been being talked to for the past year about managing the club and taking the club over, unbeknownst to any of us who work there, okay? So the only reason he was coming in on those metal nights was to see what was going on, because he was getting ready to secretly swoop in and be Mr. fucking general manager, as he likes to call himself, okay? And that's what he likes to call himself. He's the general manager of the Outpost.
Dude,
general manager of the Outpost. You know?
I was about to defend you, Jesse. I was about to try to
trust me. Look, nobody better.
I don't know the guy. I don't want to bash people.
Dude, look, the last thing I said to the kid when I quit. The last thing I said, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of the other shit that I said. But the last thing I said to him, I said, "Look, man, you as a human being, I like. I think you're a nice person." And I've always been cool with you when you've come in on your fucking hippie nights.
Hell yeah.
As far as this shit goes and everything that's transpired since you fucking walked into this building acting like a fucking manager, you ain't shit. You don't know shit. You don't know your ass from your fucking elbow. I mean, dude, like, I let this fucking kid have it. But you're a nice enough kid. You don't know nothing. You're trying to act like you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. And that's what it comes down to. Good luck, bitch. Good luck, because you're going to have a hard fucking way of it. The way that you've handled things. And that's what it comes down to. Like, they want to fucking blame Joe and you know, all this other fucking shit. The way that you people walked into this fucking club, so goddamn arrogant. Like, you walked into somebody else's house just fucking stinking of arrogance. Like, you fucking know up from down in that business, and you absolutely fucking do not.
Yeah.
But that's the way you wanted to come in, acting like that. So, but then you want to tell people, oh, we didn't want to get rid of anybody. It wasn't our intention to fire the staff and blah, blah, blah. Well, first off, you didn't fucking fire nobody. We all left. Like, we left. The ones that have left have left. Like, there's still some there. And, you know, if they want to stay, they want to stay. That's fine. I don't give a shit. Me, Tim, and Jared, we were all in the same place. We're out. We're fucking out.
Huffman just quit.
Yeah, I see that.
You guys, he's a good kid. They just had a baby, didn't he?
Well, did they just have... Well, they have the little one. It was just a couple months ago?
Yeah.
A month ago? A couple months ago? Oh, that's cute. That's cute. It's a cute baby.
I'm a fan of metalheads having babies. Because metalhead dudes are loyal dudes. Metalhead chicks are loyal chicks. Loyal she motherfuckers, is. Loyal to the soil all yep. day long. And so when both... they have families, they have these cute little metal babies, and they have cute little metal families, and they fucking listen to Trans-Siberian Orchestra on Christmas time or whatever the fuck, and it's adorbs.
And they're both metal singers.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is. I mean,
and they have cute kids. They're both great people. Sean's a good dad. She's a great mom.
I'm not gonna get details. I'm not gonna try to graphically visualize. But like, do you think there's like metal screams going on in the bedroom?
Yeah, just gutturals.
Yeah. Congratulations to you guys. You guys are beautiful cats. Love you guys. Oh man. Yeah, I've seen this shit happen before, and it's really interesting it happening now. Like, just changing the formats with the voodoo. Voodoo's a classic example. Thing because yeah. Ron's Crossroads in the night, and we'll just paint a quick picture real quick for anybody that doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about, right? In Akron, Cuyahoga Falls, really, there was a venue in the 80s, 90s.
North Hill Akron. It wasn't Cuyahoga Falls. It was okay. North Hill Akron.
And it was Ron's Crossroads throughout most of the 90s. It kind of really, in the 90s, started turning into more of like a metal club and shit. Like, because you know, like Cold Chamber and
Seven Dust played there.
And fucking Bobby Clark shit. And then in the early 2000s, when new metal kind of became a thing and stuff, it got new ownership. And it was the guy from a band called Side in Cleveland. Know your fucking history. Respect local music, right? This dude Sean Hackle, who you and I both know, and
such a rock star,
so conceited.
You're such a rock star.
Sean,
so conceited.
Always, everybody I've ever met in that band was always just really fucking cool dudes. To be honest with you, like ultimately, overall, if you were like, ah, yeah, what do you think about Mark?
Like, Adam was like the biggest dick from Side, the drummer, and he's still a dick.
Yeah, but like super talented drummer though.
Yeah, he crushes. He's tight as fuck. Really good drummer, but is a dick. But if you know Adam, he's not a dick. He's just one of those guys that you kind of don't know how to take. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't know him, he's an abrasive fucking dick.
He's one
dick.
Of those guys that other people will tell you, be like, once you get to know him.
I'm telling you. Like, once you get to know him, he's not so bad. He's all right.
Not so bad. but Sean, Adam's funny, man. Sean took over Ron's Crossroads and actually made it more of a metal club because... Some bands were drawing really well at that time. Hate Theory was drawing really well. NDE was pulling in a good draw. 216, which is a band comprised of members of Mushroomhead, Jason Pops, and most importantly, right? Well, and Gravy. I mean, fucking Gravy. We got to talk Gravy. About that here in a bit too, right?
Yeah, because they did a set.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll no Pops in, but
with the drummer from Fistula in Vulgar Display of. Pantera or whatever.
Yeah, I mean that drummer is fucking retarded.
He's so good. Corey and Buddy have both like just been like, dude.
Dude, that fun. I watched some fucking live video from their tour.
Yeah, me too.
Jesus Holy Christ, shit. Dude.
Man, Fistula's so great. They do our open and slung here. Not to brag. But anyway, when Sean took over and changed the name to the Voodoo, I remember some members of certain metal bands at first were freaking the fuck out. Because they're like, great, the dude from Side, so it's gonna be like, what?
Oh, straight fucking cock rock. Great.
Marcy Playground.
Marcy's it. Playground.
Yeah, that's who I saw Side open up for.
Yeah, at the was that at the Odeon?
Yeah, and then I got like a flyer to go see Side for free at the Odeon like a week later. And then
Did you go?
I saw the second time. I loved Side, dude.
Side. Like if you know back in the 90s,
CYDE, look it up, Google it, Side yeah. Rockstar.
When 107.9 was a rock station, it was an alternative rock station, they played fucking that Rockstar song on 107.9
yes!
all the fucking time.
That was so cool.
I used to drive around in my dad's minivan in the summertime with the windows down, jamming fucking Sean Hackle and Mark Sturley's fucking shit.
Yes!
Let's not forget fucking Adam Mercer.
Right.
Dave Sturley.
Sean Turner.
Matt Cleary, by the way. Matt Cleary.
I'm Matt Cleary.
Who was one of the greatest human beings you'll ever meet in your life. If you want to talk to somebody who just is cynical, no hope for the future. Matt Cleary will have you fucking rolling on the floor.
Sean turned the Voodoo into the biggest metal club in the area. There was really two going on at the time, because in the early 2000s, 2001 through 2005, 6, right, you had Robin Hood, you had Peabody's
okay,
with the new location.
Up in Cleveland, out in Kent.
Out in Kent. And Akron got to have the Voodoo.
That was it.
And those clubs, that was at a time, like, you know, I was in bands back in those three were just like, it was just like on a constant rotation. You always had a show booked at one of those places. And the voodoo though, like at first people were freaking out because they just thought it was going to be like, you know, saying cock rock and stuff. And then it ends up becoming this super metal club. But what ended up happening was, I mean, Caligo was, they were packing that fucking place almost every show. They were playing that place so much. And it did become a thing where it was like the same bands were fucking constantly playing, but like they ended up bringing in acts like Dope or Dave Brocky from Gwar. Once again,
Flaw, Google. Stem.
Yeah. I played with Flaw there, I think.
I may have.
I don't know. I played with some weird fucking like.
Their singer dropped his. This is back in the day of no cell phones, when people didn't have cell phones and shit. And like if you had a cell phone, it was just a shitty big. Crazy block of cell phone.
Yeah.
And Flaw, their singer, dropped his card, his call card. He had a phone card.
Yeah.
Back in the day when you had phone cards that you could take to a payphone.
Oh, shit.
And then you use it on the payphone to call home or international. He dropped that thing. It was like 970 minutes were on that thing. I used that thing forever. Oh, it was awesome. Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I apologize to that guy. I should have gave it back to you. But I didn't. You were already gone. You know?
You worked at the Voodoo. You were bouncing at the Voodoo.
I worked years. At Ron's Crossroads for Christ's
sake. Yeah, you worked at Ron's Crossroads. Yeah.
Zach Herring, drummer Zach.
Drummer Zach. Yeah. He's always out in Highland Square.
His dad, Brent Herring, he was the first guy that I worked with. Him and this guy, Sean, from Ron's Crossroads. Sean was a big guy who played cello and was a fucking wrestling coach. I've talked about him before. And he just fucking smashed everyone. Him and Brent... Herring, they were the two main guys at Ron's Crossroads back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones who gave me my first gig doing that.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's who I got to fucking work with back then. It was, you know,
yeah.
A lifetime ago. It was fucking forever ago.
And when you worked at the Voodoo, you know, you were equally as popular back then with the local musicians.
I was friends with a lot of people, and, you know, like the Hate Theory guys, and, you know, I went to school with a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
I grew up with them. So it's just, I knew a lot of people. I got around a bit. I was a bit of a whore.
So let me ask you, when Ron, or not Ron's, but I guess the Voodoo, when Sean was leaving, like, did you leave before Sean did?
I left towards, shit was just getting real bad business-wise, and I was the one that was there 6-7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one that was dealing with everybody. I was the one that was fucking paying the bands out. I was the one that was doing load-in. I was the one doing all that shit. And I wasn't being paid at all. Like, when I worked at the Voodoo, dude, when I stopped bouncing, I bounced for the first year that I was there. And then I worked my way into a bartending gig.
Yep.
They didn't want to pay me hourly for my bartending gig. They paid every fucking chick with a set of tits that worked behind the bar $10 an hour plus tips. They said if I wanted to bartend that I was just working for tips, and that's what it was. I was a really good fucking bartender. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I wanted
to be a bartender. I wanted to bartend. And I was in my element. I knew everybody. You know, like, I'm a talkative, personal kind of guy. So getting to see different people every night and get them drunk and hang out with them and tell stories and shit, like, it was just perfect for me.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Working there as much as I did, people really didn't associate the place with anybody else other than me. Like, they associated the place with me more than anybody else. Kim Diamond was booking there, okay? But she would book shows, but never come to the shows.
That is true.
She never was at the shows and shit. She never had to deal with the bands. Very, very few times was she actually there, and it would have been for a national. You know what I mean? Or something that she liked. And then she would have been there. Other than that, it was a phone call to me and fucking I handled everything. The end of the night, fucking, you know, Sean and Marcus were never there, dude. Fucking, it was a phone call to me. This is what you pay out the fucking band. Some nights, dude, like, there was a band from, like, Minnesota there one night on a fucking Tuesday or some shit. Nobody came. Mm-hmm. But they promised him $50 for gas. So at the end of the night, I call Sean, okay, cool, I'm going to pay him out. And he says, no, don't pay him. Don't pay him nothing. They didn't bring anybody. And I said, but they're from fucking, like, Minnesota. Of course they didn't fucking bring anybody. They're in Akron and shit.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. So now I'm the guy who has to go and tell this band who's driving an RV that's on E that I'm not giving them any gas money. I'm that guy. You know what I mean? So that's where the direction of that was going when I was working there. And I finally just told Marcus, like, hey, man, like, I can't keep working here. Like, you're fucking my name up. That's the only thing I got. Like, I don't fuck people over. I love people and people love me, but it's starting to get ran through the mud,
right,
being associated with all the bullshit that's going on here. So I left. I was out. And then it was probably a year after that, I would say, that he sold the place. It went under. Multiple times. It changed names times because the businesses failed. Yeah. So they would just change the name of the business.
I've seen the metal venues go from, like, have to change because they feel like they need to branch out and they need to be something else. But it's like this, man. Main Street Saloon, legendary fucking Akron biker bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
You walk into the Main Street Saloon and you got some dude up there with bongos going, flow jams, man, flow jams. What's going to happen to that biker bar?
To use that, this as an example, it isn't really the one you want to use, because if a guy walks into the Main Street Saloon and gets up there with bongos,
yeah,
and starts doing some flow jam shit,
yeah,
the bikers are going to kick the shit out of him and take their bar back.
Well, sorry. The Outpost has kind of become the metal place over the past few years. Not exclusively.
No, but to be fair, Northeastern Ohio is like a metal fucking place, man. Like, it's just, it's more metal and fucking rock and roll around than fucking anything else. It's not like we're against doing other shows. We just fucking know what shows work and don't cause fucking shit.
Do we need to bust out statistics for you? Cleveland, look it up. Cleveland has more heavy metal bands coming out of that city than any other city in the country.
Nice.
Most metal city in the United States.
Akron, not even a half hour away, really, you're speeding.
Made the list.
Number 17 in the entire country.
Made the list.
You understand?
That we have multiple, Cincinnati made that list too.
Northeast Ohio, especially between Akron and Cleveland.
Yeah, it's just
more metal bands. It's the Rust Belt of fucking America. This is nothing but fucking smog. I swear to Christ, drive from Miami to Ohio. Once you hit Akron, everything goes from colors to gray. It is nothing but fucking gray.
That's how I describe Parma.
Dude, that's it.
Parma's gray as fuck.
It's gray. It's just gray. The entire trip, we're like, man, America is beautiful. And then all of a sudden, I was like, am I in purgatory?
Oh, we're at home.
No, we're home, yes. So kind of purgatory.
The Cleveland Browns fucking suck! Sorry excuse for a football team! Spicy food gives me the shit! Montezuma's revenge! I like a girl with big tits! A mouthful! Such a fucking waste! Alternatives don't exist! Your best will never be good enough! Take a razor to your ass!
No. People are going to use various excuses as to why what is happening is happening, yes, and shit. It comes down to beef between a father and a son, zero communication, and fucking one person thinks they know better than the other.
Yeah.
Like, you throw a fucking dude in who's never ran a fucking club in his life.
Yeah.
And call him a general manager of a bar, but yet doesn't know the business. And then you have, people like Lacey, who has been bartending there 15 years, knows that business inside and out. Why wouldn't you make her the manager of the bar? Why wouldn't, if it's a business thing and it's money that you're worried about, like, business-wise, to have a manager that knows your business? Lacey. I've been doing this for fucking 20 years and not just security. Like, I've worked every aspect of a bar. I grew up in bars my entire life. Like, literally was getting my cheeks pinched for the first 3-4 years of my life in bars. Like, my dad owned a bar in the same town as the Outpost for 10 fucking years. Like, I know that business. Why didn't Mike come to any of us that already worked there and say, hey, this is what's going on. Things have got to change. We got to fix some things. That's not what happened.
No.
He went completely outside of the box.
Right.
Hired people that don't know anything about anything. And then those people walk into our home and try to tell us what we're doing. And they don't know what they're doing. So, like, this is a bunch of fucking personal crazy bullshit.
Now it's on the podcast.
Yeah. No, not really. Nobody knows what's fucking, like, really going on and shit. You know, that's between Joe and his dad. You know, whatever. That's their shit.
Yeah.
But these people want to use all kinds of excuses. Fact is,
yeah.
You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. You walked into a place that has been being ran by the same crew essentially for a decade. Like, we have a solid crew, no fucking complaints. As far as like the only people that complain are the assholes that we've thrown out.
This is a concern I have for the future of the metal community, because look, man, there are kids. I'm talking 16-year-olds
mm-hmm.
that need a fucking place to go to that's not fucking drugs.
Yep.
Or the fucking streets.
And they need to be able to express themselves.
They need to be able to express themselves.
And have a place to feel fucking safe and in their own element.
Find some like-minded people.
Yep.
From other areas, other regions around here, right? You need to have a place to be able to go to, because those are the kids that you were, that I was.
So I wasn't.
That's how we all ultimately met. Us old heads, as some people would say. Us old heads met when we were young bucks.
At shows.
At shows that would allow us to go there. With as much as I love Annabelle's, you're like 21 and over all the fucking time, man.
Right. Not all clubs fucking let young motherfuckers in.
And the outpost does.
Has. Joe has done that for all of you. So the ones that are in their early 20s running their mouth and fucking talking about haters make us greater, for you in particular, you especially, Joe has afforded you the opportunity to fucking do what you do since you've been 15, 16 years old, motherfucker. Joe's the one that fucking let all of you have a place to fucking do what you do for the past however many years you've been doing it. It's the best. We're doing, what's best for everybody. And you know, we want this to succeed and shit. No, you want to succeed. You want to be somebody. You want to have a name. That's what this is with you, personally. Like, you people that are booking there now and doing your shit, you're doing this for yourself. Don't act like you're fucking in this for the music scene, or you're in this for the fucking bands, or you're in this for the fucking people, because you don't never fucking come out and talk to those people. You don't never come out and see those fucking bands. You don't come to fucking shows. How do I fucking know? Because I'm the guy you fucking see every time you walk in that fucking door. Now, I know you people. So, they're people that have never, that they just do not come to shows. They've never come out and showed any kind of support for anybody other than their own fucking shit. Ariana has never been in that fucking club. Like, she may have come for a show or two over the 10 years that I've been there, but that chick's face completely escapes me. Jesse, I know because he plays in hippie bands, and he comes to some of the other fucking little hippie shows that they fucking have. By the way, those shows don't make bars any money, because those people are the rudest fucking people on the planet. They spend zero fucking money at the bar. They'll go to the parking lot and just get shit-faced hammered at their car, and then come back in and give the staff shit. That's what the hippie shows are. You're full of those. So go ahead and throw as many of those as you want, you know? And metal dudes in the fucking local metal, whatever, you want to book there, man. Go for it, you know? You'll probably get away with more shit now than you ever did, because they sure as fuck don't have any kind of security staff like we had. So you'll probably get away with, like, underage drinking and all kinds of shit. They're awful. So. Pass the second blunt to question your big ass down, cause I don't know about this rap stuff. There was a rap when I was
pig and cotton, same ass up. Y'all young whippersnappers with your caps on backwards. Man, y'all fuck around with Quilly. I kick a bone out your ass quick.
Watch out now.
I know, like, normally this is when an episode would end, but I dare say that it's a Christmas time. It's Christmas special time, which means gifts, dude.
Jingle bells.
What the fuck is Christmas about other than gifts? It's a perfect tribute. Christmas is my favorite time of the year.
I'm throwing away.
Where you pay tribute to those that you love.
There's plastic in here.
We have gifts for each other.
I didn't really wrap yours. I was gonna wrap yours, but I just didn't have time. So I was like, "Fuck it." So I threw it in plastic bags from the various stores.
Yeah.
And I just wrapped tape around it.
I'm gonna open up my gift right now.
I'm gonna open mine too. Mine's wrapped better. I actually got like Batman wrapping paper and
Jessica
shit.
Did it.
Super, well,
she did it.
She's awesome.
Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun.
I love it so much. Can we talk about fucking Devin Townsend and Chad Kroger teaming up on a fucking song? You want to tell me how I'm not wrong about Nickelback?
Oh shit, dude, this is awesome. So yeah, so I got a Kevin Owens zombie figure.
Yeah, you.
Kevin Owens, one of
your boy.
Favorite wrestlers of all time.
That's your homie.
It's my boy. It's my buddy. When he was Kevin Steen on the Independence, Jessica and I went up and saw him wrestle up in Cleveland. We actually went to Fort Lauderdale, right outside Miami, to go watch him wrestle there for WrestleMania weekend years ago.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. Show me a photo. That's too good. Show me a photograph.
Of the photograph.
A photograph. And what I got you was a framed photograph
of, you know, my buddy.
Yeah, your bud.
Chad Kroger.
Right.
From Nickelback.
Chad Kroger.
Holding a picture of me.
Yeah.
Happily pointing at him.
We're going to get a photograph of you.
Look at his photograph.
It's just, I mean.
God damn it, it makes me laugh.
I know Nickelback's your band. Those are your boys. Kiddly. Those are your boys.
I like Canadians.
Speaking of Nickelback, I'm glad you like your gift, by the way.
I do. I fucking love this thing.
Speaking of Nickelback, your boy Chad Kroger is going to be on an album. He's going to be on a track with my boy Devin Townsend.
Devin Townsend.
Prog metal legend. He's also the founder of a band called Strappy Young Lad.
Who?
Which is one of the heaviest fucking bands to ever exist.
It is so dumb how fucking good they are and how heavy they are.
They were like a joke band. It was like Devin,
That's what I heard. Like he was basically like anybody could do metal watch.
Yeah, and let me do it more insane, just crazier than all of you motherfuckers. And his stage presence with Strapping Young Lad was always the funniest because he would I've seen him tons of times. But he would always crack jokes, be like, "No wonder you guys are called the Browns. This city smells like shit." He's like, "All right, you fucking assholes, get in the," you know, just like, oh, just
yeah.
Constantly just ripping the crowd.
Giving you the Jim Kanye.
Play that stupid piece of shit!
Now, if you go on YouTube and you watch Devin Townsend's project live, it's this goofy, really fun, very loving, almost hippie-esque. I would call it flow jams. It's very hippie-esque, nice guy music and shit. Like, he has crowd participation. He's a sweetheart as far as a character on stage. And it's such a drastic thing from Strapping Young Lad, but I highly recommend go listen to Strapping Young Lad. Gene Hoagland on the motherfucking drums, who played in, you know, Death Clock and Death, the band Death.
Yeah.
Awesome band.
Gene's like magic if you watch him because he really doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's just his feet and his hands, and then just this big guy.
Yeah.
With big hair.
A drummer of Pitch Black Forecast. With Bobby Reinert from NDE,
yeah, and Mr. and your buddy,
and Wally is in NDE real quick, and he was on our show, so we are in
seven
we're
degrees
like
of Gene Kevin Hoagland. Bacon,
like four with Gene Hoagland, like 4 degrees from Gene Hoagland.
I mean, Popson's your boy too, and he was
Jason Popson.
He's in Pitch Black 4K.
Yeah, Jason Popson, who did not sing for 216. Gravy did a show recently.
Recently.
Gravy from the band 216 Runt. He was a Mushroom Head for a long time, probably most known for that.
That was
Priya Diaz right now, currently.
That was my last night at the Post, or I wanted to go to that. It was like all the way up in Menor.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. Fucking hour and a half drive.
I heard it was a killer show. I wish I could have. I was working that night. I wish I could have.
I'm sure it was awesome. I'm sure it was cool.
216 is one of the heaviest bands to ever fucking come out of Cleveland, period. Point blank. Bottom line. Go listen to
it. It was like if Mushroom Head was really good.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like if you just wiped all the bullshit from Mushroom Head,
you'd get some 216.
Right. They did that show. That would have been cool. What was it talking about?
The
Gene Hoagland and Strapping in Line. But yeah, so
Four Degrees.
So anyway, back to the Devin Townsend thing. Devin Townsend's he's putting out a new album, and he's gonna have Jack Roeger from Nickelback on it, and
various other artists.
Yeah,
on songs.
That got a lot of laughs, but you gotta understand that like Devin Townsend's Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Roeger is Canadian.
Yep.
So obviously,
both at the top of their Canadian rock game, by the way.
Right. And there's no way in fuck that Devin Townsend wasn't somewhat influential on Chad Kroeger. You can tell on his guitar.
For sure. Dude, you think Chad Kroeger doesn't like metal?
Yeah, seriously.
Of course the dude likes metal. He plays shitty rock.
Yeah, he stole shit from Dimebag Darrell, you know, like weird recordings to pretend like he did a song with them. You remember that?
Did he do that?
Yeah, Nickelback has a song. I thought they did that. No,
they didn't.
No, they took outtakes from the Reinventing the Steel
album and just added them to their shit.
Yeah,
with Dimebag's permission though.
No, he was dead.
Oh,
how are you gonna get his permission? He's not there anymore.
Well, maybe before he died. I don't know. I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Could you imagine Dimebag being that? Like Nickelback and Dimebag? Maybe he thought their name was Nickelback.
Yes.
And he thought they were related. Like, oh, yeah, you're like half of me.
Yeah.
Hey, little man.
I get it,
I'm
man.
Your dad. I get it. Yeah, hell yeah.
Bro.
Fuck yeah. Get your pool on.
I don't know that if Dime wouldn't have done it, though. I think maybe he would have been like, yeah, I'll shred your shit.
I don't give a shit. I'm drunk.
Look what I'm about to do. Woo. Black Teeth.
Rebel Flag.
Three.
Another show happened a while ago. It's been so long, you know. Another show happened a while ago. I got to go see Persistent Aggressor for my birthday, and it was the last time that I will ever be blackout fucking drunk again.
I
went out blackout drunk.
And it's so funny because like
oh,
like Tucker and his girl.
Warren?
Yeah. They came in
mm-hmm.
and told me about running into you and you were just shit faced.
I was shit faced.
Fucking shit faced.
I was trying to get them to like get married.
Like, well, yeah. They're like, so good together.
Y'all motherfuckers getting married right now. I gotta give a little bit of love to Matt Haas from Actual Form, because Persistent Aggressor was playing. Love fucking Larry. Love that band, Persistent Aggressor. Go check them out. I'm gonna say go check them out to anything that's good from now on. It's gonna be my new thing, new catchphrase. I saw Matt Haas from Actual Form, and I cornered him blackout drunk for like a half hour, maybe. I don't know.
Poor kid.
I just remember seeing him, and even in my drunk state, I was like, what a good sport this fucking guy is for letting me repeatedly just go, you motherfuckers are so good. No. You think
I know people tell you that you're good, but listen to what I'm telling you, dude. You guys are good.
And I know for a fact, from what I can remember, that I dropped the podcast. Like, that was, like, giving me some fucking clout for a second, where I was like, I do a podcast, so I know what I'm talking about. I've heard other bands before. I was at the Blackout Cookout, and I saw all those bands, and I like them. But I liked you the best. And the whole time, he's like, thank you so much. That's super nice of you. And he was such a good sport. So shout out to Matt from Actual Form. Sorry I was so fucking drunk, dude. And I hope you return my text. I hope you forgive me.
I like that. I like that there's still a drunk Eagle every now and then.
Every once in a while, he
people,
exists.
And people get to hang out with drunk Eagle every now and then. Like, I've hung out with drunk Eagle so many times. Especially the voodoo days.
Yeah.
Like, drunk times. The voodoo days.
This is what I learned about Super Drunk Eagle. Apparently, I really like everybody.
You love everybody.
I love everybody.
You love everybody.
But I guess in the car ride home, I was asking Jessica very seriously why she was still with me. And why she would be with me. And I feel like I held her back. And like... all this stuff.
You could have been so much better than me, babe.
And so,
babe, you could have been so much better than me. What are you doing?
I don't remember.
What are you doing?
She was telling me like this really personal, just like sad stuff that I was saying in the car. And I was like, what I learned is I love everybody, but yet not myself.
Not yourself. You hate yourself a lot.
That is sad.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. Oh.
But that's, you know, top-notch depression.
Yeah. But I was, like, super happy to see everybody else. Like, everybody else in the world. And
just
I
not happy with
them,
you.
I let them know how great I think they are, and I'm so glad to have them in my life. And they're all wonderful,
like,
talented musicians. And
I'm shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I talk about me. I'm like, I can't believe you. Anybody would love me. Oh, poor Eagle. Fucking punk bitch.
I mean, you have it as good as you have it because you're awesome.
Yeah, it makes me sad because I don't remember it at all. And like when I'm not drunk, which is always, I like myself enough. But so I hate thinking that there's this weird fucking dark spot in the back of my mind that's like really depressed. Depression's real, guys. It's real.
It is real.
Sure.
I love everybody, but I'm a shit waffle. I'm a shit waffle with little cups filled with piss syrup.
I fucking hate
shit
me.
Waffles.
Love you. Yeah, Larry had to deal with my drunk self and stuff. I felt so, like, I left, like, feeling bad. I do remember leaving just being like, man, I kept people up way too late.
People could have left so many minutes before they did I wasn't just ruining their night.
And I've seen Matt once or twice since the show. We work in the same area.
Right, so yeah, you're running into
each other. I've seen him, and I saw him the other day, and I walked by with my head down, just like in total shame. I didn't even nod to him, like, what's up, dude? Like, I just put my head down, like, oh, man, that was...
He's probably like, Eagle doesn't like me.
No, he's probably just like, there's that fucking drunk fucking guy who's just like, hey, I'm a fat guy who's almost 40. So I know music. I know what's cool.
Well, we do.
We do.
We do. We're fat, we're 40, and we know it's cool.
Yeah, but
so man. Fucking suck it.
Yeah, Matt. Suck it. Suck it, bro.
Your band's the shit. Suck it.
What
you gotta say about your band being awesome? Suck it.
The three of you guys are way too talented to stay in Akron. Fucking suck it.
You're too big for Ohio. Maybe you guys should go and do something bigger because you're so awesome.
Lick my balls. Alright? Take that shit and lick the balls.
That's how we insult people.
Motherfuckers. Motherfuckers are getting it today. God damn. God damn. So yeah, that happened. That was crazy. I haven't been that drunk in like years and years and years, man. It was a new... But I told Jessica before we went out that was my plan, was to just get so fucked
up. Shit-faced.
Yeah, I was like, I just want
to... You need it every now and then, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need it every now and then. I don't particularly like drinking anymore. You know what I mean? Every now and then's cool and shit.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I only drink a few times out of the year. Like maybe four...
The person that I am when I'm drunk, it's like, you know, you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a big shitbag, you know?
Let's not even talk about me. Let's talk about...
Like, I can sit in a room drunk and, you know, make 20 fucking people laugh and everybody's having a good time and shit. And then the whole time inside my head, I'm just like, why are they even like me? Like, why are they fucking... Where'd they hang out with me? I'm fucking nothing. I'm nobody! I'm fucking nothing.
Trent Reznor serenading you in your head.
Yeah.
myself today
to see if I still feel.
But on the outside, you're just doing the Cabbage Patch. And
this whiskey drowns the pain. The only pain that's real.
It's what you want to say, but what ends up coming out is like, Waka Waka!
Hey, look at me! Ah, I'm funny! I'm a monkey! Look at me dance! Woo!
Yeah, I think we'll play some actual form to end the show. They deserve it. That's the least I can do.
For telling them how fucking awesome they are fucking to suck it.
To cornering a motherfucker.
Hey, now we're making you badass band of the week. Suck it.
Again. Suck it.
Boom.
What? You can suck it twice. Fuck you guys for being so good. So good that it hurts. When people watch you, they want to quit being a musician themselves. How do I know that? People have told me that. They've told me that.
You are, I mean, you are one of those bands that other musicians stand there and go, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah. They did the one song live. I don't know song titles. They did this one song live where it was so fucking, like, loud, and then all of a sudden it got quiet where you thought something happened with the speakers, right? Where you're like,
yeah,
what happened?
Something cut out?
And then all of a sudden you're like, no, I hear them playing. I see them playing.
But it's so...
And it gradually got louder.
A little bit louder now.
A little bit louder.
A little bit louder now. A little bit louder now. A little bit louder now. A little bit louder now!
Like that. They did that, and it sounded so groovy. But you saw, I saw people that were in bands playing that day just do this, like, motherfucker! Fuck!
Good!
Why didn't I think of that? Why can't I do? How did they do that?
It's kind of like watching going to fully consumed shows back in the day, and mm-hmm. watching other metal like fucking musicians
yeah.
watch
like garage bands.
Just they would watch Jesse Barrowcliffe play bass, and I seen so many guys just shake their head and be like, "Fuck, fuck." Like, that's right. That's right.
I love it when you see bands like that. Actual Form is one of those bands like that.
Look, I had heard you guys, and then I didn't get to see you until that one night. At the Post, was it the cookout?
Yeah.
Amazing. it was mind-blowing, dude, how good you guys were.
Yeah.
So, I'm, you know, dick riding like everybody else. Yeah. Suck it.
Suck it. Fuck you guys, you're too good. I hate that. I'll play them out with some actual form. I was going to play Christmas music, but this is better than Christmas music.
Yeah, and... It's better than most music.
It's better than most.
It's just better than most music.
So I'm going to deal with what I'm going to have to leave in and leave out of the fucking show next week. I'm going to sleep fucking restlessly for the next 4 days. Just
you probably leave most of the fuck yous in there.
I can leave some of them. I'll leave some of the fuck yous in there.
You leave most of them
in there. I'm going to leave most of them in there. Before we play some actual form, I wanted to get your opinions on a thing or two. The guitar player, that Mark dude from Cannibal Corpse.
This is something I wanted to talk about. That yeah, and nobody knows the full story, but his face says I do meth.
A lot of meth.
Right? Like he totally had the sores and shit, yeah. Like he was fucking picking his face.
Yep.
It seemed to be a bit of a meth rage.
Right.
Some people think it might have been a suicide by cop. Okay. Situation, because he rushed the cops with a knife.
He ran at a cop.
With a knife. Yeah. And they were just like, whack!
While things were like going off in a house, right? Like a house fire.
His house was on fire? There was a house fire, and then he was like breaking into another house.
Could you imagine if you were a Cannibal Corpse fan and a cop that was on the scene at the same time?
It was his house. His house is the one that was on fire. And then he was breaking into another house. And his house... had like 5 military grade flamethrowers.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I read this story, I was actually already on a Cannibal Corpse kick. I was like on a Corpse kick. I was listening to the newer record, right?
Okay.
I got this one fucking song. So it's so fucking badass. But I'll play a clip of that song. I can't remember what it's called. I'm playing it right now.
Watch your hands or just a chance of escape. Next day you know, cold steel in your face. Your predetermined fate is in our hands. Deliverance will be upon the stroke of a knife.
that was badass, right? So I was on a Cannibal Corpse kick already, and then I read that, and I was just like, that's right, you fucking pussies. Like, that's the shit I listened to.
Right.
Like, I started thinking of pussy metal bands because, like, I notoriously just don't like shit. I don't like fake fucking metal bullshit.
Look, like, well, you know, mostly, like, when shit happens, when shit happens with bands,
yeah,
it's bullshit. Yes. Like the dude from Five Finger Death Punch,
mm-hmm,
he beat up his fucking girlfriend. Like, yeah, he's a little fucking Napoleon syndrome, drunk as shit, and beat up a female and, yeah, shit. Right? Like, okay, that's the shit. That's the metal you listen to.
That's the metal you listen to.
Our dude has flamethrowers and he's like bum rushing cops and, yeah, suicidal rages and shit. So,
yeah,
that's what we listen to.
And his bandmates are like, he's actually a really good dude. Like,
his, yeah, his wife was like, hey, like, let's wait until everything comes out. Give, yeah, give it a chance.
Yeah, the drummer's wife was like, yeah, hey, I'm gonna get a GoFundMe. We're gonna fucking help,
yeah,
this guy
just,
out.
Just because, wait until, like, all the facts come out.
Like, it's not as bad as you say. And I'm just like, man, that's such a cool band.
And it probably isn't as bad.
Yeah.
He was probably high. House caught on fire.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to do, so he broke into his neighbor's house to fucking call 911 or something.
Yeah.
You know, or get water. You don't know. Right.
Nobody knows.
And then the cops get there and they're like, get on the ground, motherfucker. And he's like, I don't like your uniforms.
Yeah, and then he's like, and then you see that dragon behind them and you're like, I gotta get
that. I'm gonna save you from that dragon! And he wasn't running at the cops, he was running at the dragon.
Which he'll never catch.
Ever.
Ever catch.
Ever. You've seen it the one time, the first time.
That's right.
You've been chasing them ever since.
So we're going to play you with a band that has the best memes on Instagram. I'm talking about the one, the only actual motherfucking form. Go check them out when they play anywhere. I swear to God, they played at the matinee and I missed it. And then I saw people like Dick Pontius. He hates being called that, but yet that's his Facebook name. Kenny Royer. Saw Kenny Royer was there. Saw Bobby Clark.
I
would say
Clark had to have been there.
Like, right down the street from me. And I'm like, nobody hit me up. Aww. I'm such a piece of shit.
Why does nobody like me?
Why does anybody even tolerate me? I'm gonna go drink now. Here's some actual form.
Listen to some Cannibal Corpse.
Yes, and we'll be back when we're back. Hopefully soon. It's always hopefully soon because I love seeing you. I've missed you. I've wanted to get together and do this for a long time. I did not realize all the craziness that happened behind you leaving the outpost. And what an interesting tale. And man, you really do not like hippies. Let that be known.
They fucking smell and they're rude.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, it's the rudest crowd. Like
the young hippies, not the old hippies. Because I've hung
maybe
out,
like
I've
really
hung out with hippies that were actually at Woodstock, like fucking played bongos around fires. I've done that shit for real, yo.
Right.
They were super awesome. They got me like way high. It was great.
You young hippies,
you got nothing.
It's not like I don't like, I mean, I've met cool hippies. I'm just saying, sure. Fucking for the most part, when those shows happen, I'm there, I work, fucking, yeah. You don't spend money, you smell like shit, and you fucking treat everybody else around you that's not a hippie like fucking they're nothing.
There's acoustic hookah.
Like, you're better than, like, sure. Like, I mean, it's so weird watching hippies act like they're better than somebody. That's weird.
That is weird. Patchouli. Until next time, my name is Eagle.
Rubber City Redbeard.
Have a merry fucking Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
Show me what you got. like what you got. Good job.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.